Yeah, so basically, I think the sophistication of evolution from, monkeys, like, what do you think humans evolve from? Can you explain the entire
Homo
life cycle?
heidelbergensis. Before that, Homo
Okay, so,
erectus. Before that,
okay.
off the top of my head, I don't know if
But
it's well
what do you
known.
think triggered, you think that, like, what do you think triggered, like, the evolution? So before that, what were humans before this, like, I guess monkey-ish stage?
I don't know what you mean by that. The all the way from Ardipithecus all the way up, and Ardipithecus goes back 5 million years, I think. Those are ape-like. They're not really monkey-like. Now they're a type of primate, but before that, our lineage lies with other primates. Before there were primates, what were we closest to? Well, I don't really know. I mean, whatever group of mammals that was probably doesn't even exist anymore. They're often described as like shrew-like or lemur-like, but a lemur is a type of primate.
So do you think
The
so
tarsiers and lorises, I believe, are the most ancient of primates. So it would have maybe been something similar to that, and they're totally arboreal, and which would make sense for our lineage based on a lot of the
Okay,
things
first
we
of all,
know.
I'm very impressed with your knowledge of that history. So yeah, basically Elon Musk says himself that he thinks that it's very likely that there is some sort of intelligent design, or that there's or he also said, or that there is a simulation of some sort. Your answers are good, and I think we can have a good debate based upon that. But yeah, by the way, anyone that I'm angry at, I'll put up 10K and do an IQ test, Ben, and everyone that if you want to actually, if you actually think I'm dumb, happy to do an IQ test. Put up some cash though. So basically, anyways.
So, what were we before we were
Okay,
primates or
let's.
something like that?
Yeah, well, I just think that the radical jump is quite impressive to say that we develop this type of enhanced intelligence through random mutations. I just think
And
it's extremely
non-random
impressive.
selection.
Oh
And
yeah,
actually,
okay, so like,
there's
yeah.
huge amounts of stuff about anthropology and human behavior that I could go into
So
if I wanted.
natural selection, so like humans spread towards, becoming more and more intelligent.
Well, that's not what natural selection is. That's just what happened. People have this misconception that evolution is survival of the fittest, is stronger, more intelligent, faster equals better. And that's not even remotely close to what it means. Fitness is just how reproductively successful you are in an environment. There are things that are vastly more successful than we are that have literally zero intelligence. They're called viruses, right? So natural selection doesn't select for intelligence. Evolution is not teleological. It doesn't produce intelligence. Now it did produce us, and I can go into why humans are intelligent if you want to, but that framing is a huge misconception that I find is really common.
So you think that, okay, I just think it's extremely, I think it's just like, just in terms of like the balance of probabilities, I find extremely, it is possible, that that happened, that evolution happened to this degree, but I just see it as being
Well,
extremely ridiculous. I don't see how the
100%
jumps
of the
happen.
evidence suggests that it did.
Well, we can barely get the history right of what happened in, 20 years ago, 3 years ago. So to say that
Yes, but
historical documenting.
there are very, very specific predictions that the theory of evolution makes that have been one that have been absolutely confirmed. Like the
What book do you recommend I read to basically see the jumps of from all the different homo types?
Ew. As far as a book,
Pardon me. Yeah. By the way, I'm not. I'm actually. I'm
Before the
listening to you
Dawn might be
in.
kind of
Go ahead.
decent.
Before the Dawn?
Yeah, Before the Dawn's a decent one. That mostly focuses on human history, but I'm pretty sure the first couple of chapters, a lot of it is about our evolutionary history, like before Homo sapiens.
Yeah,
there's a book called The World Before
On both
Us.
Sides, because this...
What? What'd you say?
Yeah, okay, so some people are putting interesting suggestions in the chat, and I do appreciate that. Like, look, I just want to get the strongest arguments on both sides. So, like, Leaf, thank you, and
I will check this out. The World Before Us is an extremely good book, too.
You know, civil and you know, right to the point the conversation is. So thank you for that breakdown. So, yeah, I thank you for your time as well. Is there anything else you want to discuss or?
Yeah.
I will go ahead.
Yeah. So one thing would be, like you said, like imagining that what evolution actually, that evolution actually has the capacity to, over stretches of time, produce completely different species. You said that you think that that's ridiculous. It is kind of impossible to wrap your head around. However, that idea is testable. And what we find is perfect nested genetic hierarchies. So this was predicted so many decades before we knew anything about genetics. It was predicted that humans and the great apes are the most closely related because we're the physically the most similar. And, I mean, the fossil record as well bore this out extraordinarily successfully. But, and then, because we are mammals, we would... because we are primates, we would be most genetically closely related to other primates. And then, because we are mammals, we'd be more closely related to mammals than non-mammals. Like other vertebrates, like birds, amphibians, reptiles, whatever. All of that has come completely true. So to say that it's just a coincidence, that's where, to me, I'm like, yeah, people talk about like the statistics, the odds, but what are the odds that it is merely coincidental that we see these perfect genetic nested hierarchies? I mean, I don't know how to do the actual calculations, but intuitively, that just seems kind of absurd. But then also, what's the alternative? I mean, if special creation is the alternative, that's an idea that can't even in principle be tested. So I don't really see how that even is an alternative.
Okay, great. Yeah, I want to put to bed, you know, the obviously in school, you're taught, you know, evolution, et cetera, in biology and...
Well, you're talking science in
yeah. Well, let's be real. The science can be manipulated, and like half of research reports cannot be replicated. So there is a lot of fraud, a waste, abuse, etc. So
in research,
you know,
in general, I mean that's true. The field of psychology is especially plagued by this, and there are reasons for that. One of the biggest reasons is that the most common test subject in a psychology study is undergraduate students studying psychology, and that's a randomly selected group. So you know, there's, you know, when I said the most common, I don't know if it's the most common, but that is a huge reason why there's a problem with replication. But evolution is predicated on millions of observations, tests, and experiments.
What is the percentage of like ResearchGate and all these like the major publications where science reports are published that can't be replicated? I think it's close to 50%.
Yes, but those are novel experiments.
By the way, I'm
novel
an investor in biotech
and tests that aren't necessarily
like to
connected to other things. The uh-huh. idea that, well, we've tested our DNA and chimp DNA and it's 98.6% uh-huh. similar. That's been done thousands of times. So,
but are we like what percentage are we close to pigs? Is pretty close to that as well, right?
It's like 99. It depends on how you look at it. I don't remember what the actual numbers are. I actually did talk about this in my book, but it was actually banana. People say we're 50% the same as bananas, and that's not true. It's just that when they compared protein molecules, there was about a 40% similarity in protein molecules, but that wasn't the totality of protein molecules. It's just the ones we share with them, we were 40% common. When you actually look at the DNA for plants, it gets down to like the single digit percentages.
Yeah, by the way, I want to mention that the chat, so the people who are accusing me of straw manning, whatever, I'm having a genuine, I'm you know, allowing, you know, the genuine perspective to come out. So, because I want to find out what are the best cases for and against something. So like to assume that I'm the dumb guy or I'm anti-science. How many biotech companies have you chat readers have invested in? I'm at eight. I invest in biotech companies, including vaccines. So if you guys,
dude, you don't have to prove anything to strangers on the internet.
Yeah, I know. It's like
the internet's the worst place in the world. You just gotta let it go.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't take it personally, but I'm just saying, like, you know, you guys have to give the benefit of the doubt from both sides, right? So like, benefit of the doubt, I give to you know, the counter argument, but you also have to give it to the person who's asking questions.
Right. Anyways, I have another thing that I wanted to talk about, but before I talk about that, is there anything about your answer?
I'm actually surprised at how good of a, and including the chat as well, which I'm reading the comments. Oh, here we go. It feels like he's taking it personally. I know, I don't give a shit. Like,
you're still doing it.
I was just generally curious. I wanted to get an answer out of this, and so I wanted to find out what the, yeah, any idiot can invest in something. Okay, great. Yeah, thank you.
Anyways.
Any other haters?
Look.
Thank you.
I am the captain now. Okay. Anyways,
okay, go ahead.
So is there anything I said about
read a book in the chat
or whatever that you wanted to talk about, or I was gonna, I have, there's something you
I appreciate your time. Thank you for the answer. I'm gonna go check out the books that you mentioned and do some research. So thank you.
Okay. Do you have another minute?
Oh, go ahead. No, I'll listen. Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing you were talking about was intelligence.
Go ahead.
That's actually pretty easy to explain. Because where does human intelligence come from? Could natural selection have shaped it? Well, there's, and when I said a minute, this is actually going to take a very long time. So just so you know, you can interrupt me whenever you want. But one problem is that humans aren't anywhere close to as intelligent as most of us think we are. In a really good book called The Third Chimpanzee by Jared Diamond, he talks about, look, the human species appeared on this earth probably something like 300,000 years ago. If aliens visited Earth and observed all of the wildlife on our planet, if they looked at us, what would they see? Well, they would see a wild animal. A wild animal that probably had some kind of language, that used tools, but we weren't the only ones using tools. There were many other human species at the time doing those kinds of things. But there's absolutely nothing about, like, for example, Neanderthals were alive then too, and they had clothing and perhaps even had ritualistic beliefs and practices, and they spoke language, but they never developed societies or a civilization, as far as we can tell, and eventually they went extinct. In no way, looking at us 300,000 years ago, would you be able to predict that human beings now have the SR-71 Blackbird and can twerk. Absolutely nothing about looking at us back then would have predicted that. But what happened? Well, humans have this sort of unmatched, how do I say this? Our intellect may actually be the highest, but what actually makes us special is that we have culture. We have the ability to pass on knowledge, and it accumulates generation after generation. Now, a thought experiment to test our intelligence that I like to talk about is another reason I think people dramatically overestimate it is that for some reason, we credit our species with the discoveries of only a few people. So Perk, in my book, I actually give this hypothetical, and I'm just curious to hear what your answer is.
What is your book? I apologize. So it's in your profile, right?
It's not coming out for a couple more weeks, but I do have a link tree, like, and you can get on my mailing list, and I will announce the book. I will make a video announcing when it comes out too. So if you follow me, you'll know.
Okay.
Cool. Here's my question. If we think about 100 billion people have lived, in our very long history. So if the million smartest people who ever lived never did, and a million's a big number, but in the grand scheme of things, it's like 0.001% of our population. If the 1 million smartest people who ever lived never did, what level of our species, like technological development or whatever, do you think we would be at?
So you're saying like the outliers, like the top 5% are responsible.
5%,
so
I get like the top 0.001% of the most intelligent
people. Yeah, they really put forward.
These are Einsteins and Newtons and Maxwells and Galileos and Archimedeses and all that.
Yeah, I agree that that's probably true, that the top percent, like, you know, less than one, you know, top percentile or even less, is responsible for moving a lot of humanity forward. That's probably true.
Yeah. So I would buy that. I think
we
would probably practice agriculture, but we would be in the Iron Age and maybe not even that, you know, that's what I think. And so I think now I say that because I think people just dramatically overestimate, or they don't realize that what we've accomplished is because of this very kind of awesome and weird technique that we have for passing on information generation after generation. It's extremely beneficial, but it doesn't mean that we own collectively the same intelligence. And it's an important point to make. Now, anyways, why are humans this smart? Why do we have such huge brains? Well, do you know like what you have to do to prove you're not a robot on the internet?
The Turing test?
No. Just to prove you're not a robot, like when you go on a website.
Oh yeah, the CAPTCHAs and things like that?
Yeah. So those are toddler tasks. Like literally
people. Yeah, that are so most of the people that are hitting on me probably couldn't pass one.
Yeah. Supercomputers can't do that. Just very recently, artificial intelligence can now kind of start to do that. But computers that can calculate, that can do long division with numbers that have hundreds of digits instantaneously, can't do toddler tasks. Now, that is the kind of, it seems like an unremarkable task, but it takes this much bandwidth to be able to do that. But why can we do that? Because obviously hundreds of thousands of years ago, we weren't proving that we weren't robots on the internet, right? Well, what is the equivalent of that we do in our species? It's looking at a face and being able to decide what is that agent thinking, doing, expressing. For example, well, we could do this for fun, but you're not an idiot. So like you're gonna get these all right, you know. The ability to judge like facial expressions. That requires this much bandwidth. And we are an extremely cooperative species. It's very important for our survival. And you just simply have to, like, the general intelligence we have comes from our social intelligence. There's a lot of research that can back this up. A good book about this is called The Social Leap by... his last name is Von Hippel. I don't remember his name. The Social Leap. The book is blue. It's like Facebook blue. But another good one that isn't really about this, but you'll find the same information, is Blueprint by Robert Plowman. So like we know for a fact that general intelligence, or sorry, why did I say that? If you want to predict future success in somebody's life, things that you would think would be good predictors, like how rich their parents were, what school they went to, and things like that, can't predict anything. It's just a coin flip with those things. But charisma, like personality traits like charisma and openness, and whether or not the person is neurotic, those are extremely good predictors of future success. Why? Well, because we work together, and people that have those kinds of abilities can fake it till they make it, you know, in ways. And there are lots of stories about very successful con men, like whoever the guy that Leonardo DiCaprio played in the movie Catch Me If You Can.
Abagnale something, yeah.
And Frank and stuff like that.
Frank Abagnale.
So we have an explanation for our brains that can do the things that they do from a sort of like a biological, ecological framework and origin that has nothing to do with what we're actually capable of now with technology, thanks to the ability, thanks to the fact that we have culture and we can pass on information and we can all ride on the coattails of very smart members of our group from the past. So I said that would take a minute. I think that was about a minute five. So sorry for going over, but there you go.